Okay,
Awesome.
so in today's class, we're gonna be delving into the weekly parsha Kitetze, which is a portion which I'm very, very close to and familiar with. Actually, I read it at the age of 13, the whole portion in the synagogue of the chief rabbi of Israel, Rabbi Mordechai Eliyahu. Parsha Ki Teitzeh, when you will go out to war. And going out to war is a very intense thing to say. Nobody wants to go out to war. Nobody wants to say we're going out to war. It happens to be one of the parshiot, one of the 53 parshiot of the Torah, Ki Teitzeh LaMilchama Eloheicha, when you will go out to war against your enemy. And the Torah tells us that the word is when you will go out to war, Al Oyvecha, over your enemy. There's Al in Hebrew could connote against your enemy or versus your enemy, or Al Oyvecha, or over your enemy. And the enemy that we're talking about over here, the commentators say, who is this enemy? So right away, Rashi, who is the classical commentator on the Torah, says that what's going on over here, b'milchemes harishus hakasu medaber, that is talking about a war, quote, permissible war, which refers to a type of war, which there's two types of war. There's a war which is a war of which is obligatory, that the Talmud says that in a war which is defending the borders of the country because of the onslaught of the enemy that are coming forth, then everyone has to participate in that war. It says even a bride, afilu kala michupasa, even a bride, like you take her out of the bridal chamber, and she's got to like go out there and like peel potatoes for the for you know to make things happen. That's it. There's like no holds bar when it comes to protecting life, and that's called milchemes chova. That's called a war of obligation, where we're defending the borders. And then there's something which is called milchemes rishus. There's a war which is permissible. And in this war, it's like either you're drafted and you're ready to go out to war, or you're not ready to go out to war. And in last week's parsha, we learned about those that are not ready to go out to war. And there's people that are scared, and we're all scared to go out to, you know, war. And there's people that are scared, and they say, and the Torah basically says that the generals go out to the front lines, and they say, wait, guys, who here has gotten, you know, gotten engaged and didn't you know, didn't finish the process? You know, they've got to go back. And who here has bought a new home and hasn't, you know, gotten, you know, to consecrate the home? And who here is basically bought a vineyard and they haven't gotten back to the vineyard? And in other words, you've got other preconceptions and thoughts in your mind that are holding you back from being fully devoted to this mission of fighting in this war, which is called Milchemes Harishus, the war of permission. So that's what Rashi tells us, that this war is a war of, quote, permission. In other words, what is this war? The war is talking about a war where we're expanding the borders. We're going out of our comfort zone. That's what basically is going on. We're not just defending our borders. We're saying we're going out of our borders, and we are now conquering, quote, the enemy, which is out there, and the enemy, which is in here. Gabriel, do you have a charger for iPhone?
Michaela,
I'm sorry.
10 years.
I'm sorry.
You want the Type-C?
No, it's not gonna work.
What's that?
But I may have to go into your hotspot.
Okay.
So we're talking about war, and that Gabriela has to do with fuga, with war. No, no, it's Michaela. I'm sorry. But the warfare that we're talking about is called Milchemet HaReshut HaKatuv Medaber. It's talking about a warfare of expanding the borders. We're expanding the borders. What does that mean? The war of permission, Milchemet HaReshut. Okay? So I'd like to share with you what Hasidus and Kabbalah has to say about this difference between obligation and permission, and something which is permitted to do. So we know that we have three prayers during the day, and the three prayers that we have during the day is Shachris, is the morning prayer, Mincha, the afternoon prayer, right? And Mariv, which is the evening prayer. Now, the first two prayers of the day, Shachris and Mincha, are called obligatory, because, not going into too many details, but the Talmud tells us that they are in lieu of the offering that was brought in the temple, the morning sacrifice, the Tamid Shel Shachar and Tamid Shel Ben Arbaim, and the offering of the evening. And these two sacrifices are called obligatory. In other words, there's an obligation for us to expand our, to hold on to where, quote, we are holding in our spiritual pursuits. And if we take this on more of a global level, there are certain truths that we hold on to, which are called tamid, which we are, going back to what we were talking about before, off the record, that being consistent in, that we've taken truths upon ourselves in our life that, now, not necessarily going into if those truths are right or wrong, if they're hereditary or not, but assuming that those truths are the truths that are daily requirements that we have of ourselves, such as, you know, to pray, talking about very straight up, prayer in the morning, prayer in the afternoon is like eating. Just like you eat breakfast, you have to pray, you have to do shacharit, you have to speak to Hashem in the morning, right? And just like you want to eat in the evening, you know, lunch is kind of, you could call it lunch, but it's a late lunch, is something that you have to have. You know, you could go to sleep necessarily with something more light, right? I mean, I think in America, like, they have more of a heavy dinner, but everywhere else in the world, you have a good breakfast, you know, starting you off. You have a good sort of lunch or late lunch, and then in the evening, you know, you want to go a little bit lighter because your stomach is the one that's doing the job of digesting everything that you're putting in it. And in America, why are people so obese? Because they're putting in so much food in their tummies right before they go to sleep a lot of time, and they and whatever, and not going to America, because solving America is a long subject. But one of the things is we've got to take care of our physical health. And really, like, we don't want to eat that much, you know, fast food joints and just getting food in our tummies. And so, yeah, so I'm not moving as much, taking walks and stretching and exercising and whatnot, especially before we go to sleep. But once again, midnight snacks. Yes. Well, we can't forget the ice cream and, you know, this Ben and Jerry's and all the Häagen-Dazs, which is there in our fridges right there at around 11:30, 12, which is a perfect nighttime tap. What do you call it? Like midnight. Yeah, it's the list goes on and on. We consume, right? But let's go back to the spiritual. Let's go back to the spiritual consuming that we're supposed to do. So we do the morning prayer, which is this very intensive spiritual digestion that we take that allows us to focus our morning to have Hashem in our life and to start off the day. Who knows how the day is going to happen, and who knows how confused we are going to be, but regardless of that, we have a big breakfast, spiritual breakfast. And then in the afternoon, it could be a long breakfast depending where in the world we're in exactly. In Shacharit is, you know, the big Kabbalists and Hasidic masters used to pray for 2-3 hours a day in the morning. They used to go into meditation and they used to say, Hashem is the one that's running the world. Mm-hmm. Like what I put into business and what I put into my everything in Hashem is the one that's saying how quickly that's going to happen and when that's going to happen. I'm going to share with you a very powerful quote from that we're going to learn from Rabbi Nachman on Bitachon and Emunah, which relates to what we're talking about over here, really. But we've got our obligations that we take on, and those obligations that we take on are essential for our spiritual growth. Like holding on to our truths, our morning routines is protecting our border, because if we don't do that, we know what's going to happen. If we don't do those basics, we're going to be taken over by intense craziness that's going on in our lives, right? If we don't, from other people's lives, because we don't have our strength that we're holding on to. And the strength that we're holding on to are our rituals, is that routine that we're doing in the morning. What is the ritual? The ritual is, there's nothing more powerful than having your morning ritual, which is saying your brachot, saying your blessings in the morning. If it's meditating, if it's learning before praying, and then praying in the morning just puts oneself in just, we could say even point zero. It's basically zero, saying like the day can now start. But if I don't do them, then it's saying I'm not even holding on to it, and it's minus something. Not to get upset or to get nervous with ourselves. Oh no, that didn't happen. It just means like I've got to work on my morning rituals more. So at least I have my milchemet ha-chiyuv, right? This is a war of obligation. This is like something which is a standard. It's there's no compromise on this. Because if I'm going to compromise on this, I'm starting with a negative, and that's not a good thing. And in the afternoon, once again, I want to make sure that I'm holding on to this. And regardless of where I'm holding in the afternoon prayer, we know the Mincha prayer, it says Eliyahu Navi, Ein Eliyahu Ne'ena, Ela B'Tfilat HaMincha. Because in the middle of our day, where we're going a little bit like crazy with things that are happening with life, which is like swarming at us, and it says like Maim Rabin, like great waters, like torrents of waters that are affecting us, at that moment We're saying now's the time to put my stake in the water. I'm saying mincha, I'm speaking to Hashem, and I'm now connecting. So this is milchemet hachiyuv. Now, what is milchemet harishut? Milchemet harishut, it says that that's the prayer of arvit. That's the nighttime prayer, which according to halacha, we could say it's a reshut. If you want to, then you could pray the nighttime prayer of arvit, of the nighttime prayer, because it's technically not the tamid. It's not tamid shel shachar, not tamid shel ben arbaim. It refers to the limbs that were there and that were consumed throughout the night. And according to halacha, according to Jewish law, like technically, if you want to, say it. If not, you don't have to. And that's the way the Rambam, the Maimonides, kind of says it. But he says that really, it's not like since we took it on as a reshut, the nighttime prayer, then we really took it on as an obligation. So what is this level of reshut, of permissible level? So Chassidus explains to us that this level of permissible level is referring to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is the one that established Tfilat Arvit, the evening prayer, where Jacob, was the one that was in the midst of the battle. And going back to our battle, Ki tetze l'milchama al oyvecha, when you go out to battle, what is this battle? Al oyvecha. What is the battle of Yaakov going out to war against his enemies? Who are the enemies of Yaakov? What is this enemy of Yaakov? So the enemy of Yaakov is the growth, the self-growth that Hashem expands Yaakov's vessel to be able to receive the infinite light, which is called Reshut. Similar to the level of Pesach. On Pesach, we've got two spectrums. That the first day of Pesach, we've got a chovah to eat matzah. But the last day of Pesach, the Shvi'i Shel Pesach, is called Reshut. If you want to eat matzah, you could eat matzah. If you don't want to eat matzah, you don't have to eat matzah. So once again, according to halacha, according to Jewish law, this seems like the seventh day is less. But on a deeper level, it's explained that the seventh day is way higher because it accesses the level of reshut, the level of permissible, the level of reshut by Hashem, Yitbarach, by the Creator. That the level of reshut on that level is different. So what is the difference between reshut and chovah on the spiritual level? So the level of chovah, the level of obligation, is the level the way God sustains the world. On the level of the world is sustained and it keeps on conducting itself every single year, every single moment, every single day. The world is sustained by the Creator. Hashem is within the world all the time, right? Like we learned in today's Tanya and Nechitas, that every single second Hashem is recreating the world. So every single second is good. How could you even think that you have a problem with Bnei Chayim, Zonei Revi'a? How could you even think that there's an issue if every single second God is giving us life and vitality and He's the one that's making the moment, giving vitality in the moment. But the point is that Hashem, Yudke Vavke, Havaya Hoveh, is the moment, and He's constantly making the moment happen. So since Hashem is within the moment, how could we think that there's anything bad that's happening? Because He's giving life to the moment. And so that's the level of what we call chovah, that Hashem is giving vitality, which which he has agreed to do since the Mabul, since the flood, Hashem said that the world is going to keep on going on. There is the world, and I want myself to be known in the world. And so he is giving vitality to the world. Hashem la Mabul Yashav, that he's constantly giving life to the world every single second. That's the level of revitalizing. Thank you so much. That's the level of revitalizing the world. Exactly, every single second, right? And so that's the level of chova. So let's just... His chova. And that from that level of chova, we are able to access Hashem's light. And in the mitzvot, when we talk about the mitzvot, such as matzah on Passover, or praying the first two prayers, as we mentioned, there's basically that level that it's a chova, like it's the level that we are able to access Hashem's light within time and space, such as the morning prayer. We're able to feel him in our prayer, that Hashem is revitalizing the world in the morning and in the afternoon. So we're feeling that revitalization, right? And we're also feeling that on Passover, when we consume the matzah, where Hashem is telling us, like, the level of emunah, which is above the, I'm putting inside of your stomachs, inside of your bellies, you have me, and you are now connected to me, and you realize that I am here in the moment that is being recreated, essentially. And that's what's happening when we eat the matzah. But something exquisite happens on the seventh day of Pesach and on the prayer of Arvit, the evening prayer. Reshut. What's the difference? Chova sounds pretty important. So the level of reshut, the level of permission, is the level that we go beyond what Hashem has ordained, sort of just limited himself in the consistency of teva, of the world. Although he has placed himself in beyond teva when we partake in the level of chiyuv, but yet it's still Hashem within the limitations and the confines of nature. The level of reshut, the Alter Rebbe explains, is the level which is above the confines of possibilities and of nature. And it's the way Hashem transcends nature. And it's not for everyone to even contend on that playing field, to go out to battle, to war on that level. Because for most people, they're like, let me just stay normal and healthy and healthy, and to have what I need and to live my life and, you know, no change. Let me have my 9 to 5 and let me have the paycheck, which is coming in. And that's it. Like, let me, you know, and then I could go to retirement and I could live. And that sounds pretty stable and good. And God bless, you know, everyone to, you know, have that. If they desire that. And for most people, that is the go-to. But for spiritual warriors, and this is what this parsha is talking about, ki teitzei lamilchama. Now, it doesn't mean if you want both, it means that there's something wrong. Actually, we're supposed to have chova. We're supposed to have this level of being set and contained and organized within the world, within our life, within aspects of our life. And that is a priority. That's what we do, right? And we're not minimizing this or be by any level, because again, that's called chovah. And that's like, it's like saying, you know, you're going to skip this and you're just going to go to reshut, then, you know, like, hey man, you know, you're just setting yourself up for that. That's not the process. And actually, in the words of the Rambam, that before someone could learn the more esoteric levels of the Torah, one has to fill themselves up with the revealed levels of the Torah, such as like meat and potatoes. Like, you can't just jump to the next level and say, oh, I'm just going to go to the next level. Lo, ad shi malek reso, until he fills up his stomach. The analogy is, again, food, breakfast, lunch. You want to ad shi malek reso be basar, right? But with meat, with things which are nourishing.
Food
for the divine, and having that organization, having that. So it's no, right? We're just explaining the difference between chovah and reshut. So once again, the level of chovah is very much utilizing our abilities to be organized and to meet the Creator within our lives. And that means that it happens in select times during the day. And throughout the rest of the day, we're supposed to set forth and align ourselves ideally with the in a very organized manner. And that's a priority. There's like, you can't go into like being a panimi, an internal and a deep person, without being organized, disciplined with what it is. Exactly, with what it is that you're doing. Like, it's not like, okay, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. It's like that sense of discipline is chovah, right? And that's a prerequisite. But over here, we're talking about ki tetzeh lamilchama. Ki tetzeh is not everyone needs to go out to this next level of war, because once again, it's called milchemet harishut. It's the war of, quote, reshut, of permission. In other words, you're going out to a war where on this level, what is this war? This war is the level of permission, of finding the Creator, Hashem, which is beyond the boundaries of the world. And how do we find this? How does this work? So this is exactly what it says. And in fact, whether we like it or not, we're sort of like drafted for this, because it says that and this is the way the Ora Chaim HaKadosh basically explains the flow of the Parsha. He says, Ki tetzeh lamilchama, what is this talking about? It's talking about the souls that as they were there in the repository of the Otzara Neshamot, in the places of the Neshama, they are sent down into this world. We're sent down into this world. Ki tetzeh lamilchama. We're going into this world. And
taking a piece of Nogra and start fighting.
And we are exactly. We're basically coming in as a godly soul which knows her truth and her existence, yeah, and then going into a physical body with a nefesh abahamis, an animal soul, and we're going out to war, and a little baby, you know, everyone's so happy, you say mazel tov, and the baby comes into this world, and wow, you know, congratulations, but the baby cries. Because the baby knows where it was from and what it has forgotten and what's ahead for him or her in this journey, right? And this journey is, on the one hand, milchemet achovah, you're coming in here, you got to go in. But on the other hand, we're sent in to be able to go up higher, because the soul is sent down into this world, so it can go up to a higher level than where it was before. That's the only reason why it was sent down into this world. The higher level is the level of being able to transcend the challenges, the level of nisyonot, and the ability to amass the spiritual treasures which are within this world. What are the spiritual treasures that are within this world? The Torah and the mitzvot, which most people take for granted as being like, it's an extra bonus to do something nice and to do something extra. Again, you're not obligated to, because we have our obligations, but to be able to stretch ourselves, to be able to go beyond those obligations into the real war, is the level of Milchemet HaRishut, and we access the level of Rishut, which is the level of Keter. It's the level of pleasure, divine pleasure, divine will, right, of the metaphysical realm, which comes down into our lives. So on the seventh day of Pesach, we're not obligated to eat matzah, but on that very day, we cross the river. We cross, well, Mashiach comes, but we cross the sea. What does that mean? We cross the sea. What is the sea, right? The sea is the sea of challenge. It's the sea of Nisayon. And here they were, right? The Jewish people, the Israelites, they were traveling for 6 days. On the seventh day, Hashem took them out. It was all good. From now on, we're signing on. It's all good. But like 6 days later, they're in front of an ocean. And behind them, the Egyptians. It's a tight spot. It's the biggest nisayon that we had collectively, but we really have internally inside of us all the time. Because that is the level of nisayon that we are tested. It says that this analogy of going through the sea is the analogy that we have in getting married, the analogy or keeping two relationships in our lives, with our spouses, with our children, with our parents. It's like, it's that challenge. And it's the challenge of money, of sustenance. Like this bill is coming in. This is happening. What do I do? I don't have that. What's going to happen? How's Hashem going to provide for me? What's going to be? I'm stressed out. I don't know what to do. And we find ourselves in between the unknown, which is the ocean, and the one that's saying, yala, like, what's with you? When are you going to pay this? Or when is this going to happen? Or when is that? And it's stressful. At this point, this is not, you know, a fun kind of a journey. Like, you know, we're holding on to our space. Again, Melchemet HaChova, but now we're being forced into Melchemet HaRishut. We're forced into our great unknown. The great unknown is here. That's Milchemet HaRishut, is the war of Nisayon. I don't know what's going to be. And the only step that we have is forward. The people there divided into four fractions, right? There were those that wanted to return back to Egypt, those that wanted to fight, those that wanted to fall into the ocean and say, that's it, I'm done with everything. I'm done with... And those that wanted to just pray all day. They're like, Milchemet HaChova, right? I could just hold myself and I could just pray. And including Moses was on that fourth one. And God tells him, Emol Matitzak Elai, what do you say? Right? And the Zohar, the Holy Zohar says, that Be'atika Talia Milta, that this is the level of Atika, this is the level of Keter, this is the level that you is unknown. It's unknown to you. Unknown what exactly is unfolding, and you're still thinking that you are controlling the outcomes by these four fractions, including the spiritual one, which is holding on to power by basically feeling maybe down or intense and praying on that level. Whereas the God says, Vaisau, take your brain, take your mind, and go and go like that to it, take it and say, Vaisau, you're going in to the unknown happily and with trust in me. Bitachon in me. That's what I want you. And I want to have a relationship with you. That's Atzmus. That's the essence. You are not thinking with your brain. You're not thinking with your emotions. You're not thinking with it. You're thinking with your essence. You're not thinking with your essence. You are your essence. You're going into the essence and being one with the essence. And this is the war. Ki tetze la milchama. But the Torah says, alei vecha, that the moment that you're going to take a step in, you're like, our minds are even saying, I'm not taking a step in. Why would I take a step in? How could I take a step in? But when we courageously do take a step in, al oivecha, you are going over your enemy. And the Rebbe says that that's the idea, that we know already that there's victory that's already there, that we're sure of the victory. We're not double questioning, yes, no, that's like done. We're going in. Because that's Amalek. That's that confusion, which we see actually right after the whole story of going into the Yamsuf, right away. Vayavo Amalek. Amalek comes out. Wait, why'd you do that? And it's double questioning ourselves and our, basically the process of going out to war, which is Milchemet HaReshut. Milchemet HaReshut is where you're placed into this. You didn't choose to be all of us in this moment. Let's just contemplate upon this. In this moment, right here, right now, yes, you made choices. Did Hashem not govern even? He knows everything. You are here right now in this moment, in the very situation that you are in. If it's married or not, children or not, your parents are like, you have this much money in your bank, you have this challenges, you have that. You are exactly in the moment that Hashem knows that you are in. Is that not true? Are we missing something? This is the ultimate truth that we are in. Hashem is exactly as chosen this moment and knows exactly where we're at. So we didn't choose it. So this is called Milchemet HaReshut. In other words, you didn't say like, okay, give me this battle, give me that battle. We're basically, I'm in this battle. And within this battle, I have the ability, because of the situation that I'm in currently, in this very moment, to draw and to bring about the level of Reshut, the level of Atika, the level of Keter, right here, right now, because of exactly being in this place that we didn't choose to be in. emotionally, physically, psychologically, right? We didn't choose to even think in this way or to even react in this way. We were just brought into circumstances to have these. And so in this very moment, we meet Hashem, and that's Milchemet HaRishut. There's a very powerful prayer by Rabbi Nassan, the student of Rabbi Nachman, that basically says, like, Hashem, in the moment that I'm in right now, which you have placed me in the moment, in the now, please let me connect to you, like in the right here and right now. And that's tshuva. That's connecting to Hashem, like, not because of anything else, including because I'm smart, because I learn, because I do mitzvah, because I'm connecting to you just because I'm connecting to you, just because I am a portion of you. That's the here and the now. That's teshuva. That's Milchemet HaRishut. That's where we go to the level of Rishut, where we expand beyond our comfort zone. We're not in our comfort zone because that's the level of Chova is our comfort zone. I want to pray like this. I want to understand like this. I know we need to do that. It's all very good and important. But the level of Rishut is, it's the level of Atzmos. The level of Atzmos is not a comfort zone. Because it's not something that we understand or know. Because it comes about only through the challenge, only through the return, only through the teshuva, where we go out to war, ki tetzel la'milchama, right? Al oivecha. We're going out to war that we don't know even what's.
And we are winning ahead. That's the name of our destiny. We are winner ahead.
Al oivecha. That we're going over. That we're going over. And many times the Alter Rebbe used to say that when warriors used to go out to war, he used to sing a happy song. So a happy song, what does a happy song do? And think about it. Warriors, those that are drafted, like young men and, I mean, women really didn't go out to war back in the day, but like, they were singing these happy songs as they were going out to war. Why? What does that do? If they would think about what they're doing, if like any warrior would think like, why am I doing this? Like, hello, I don't know. Like, can I just like leave and get like a regular job? I don't know if this is for me. And it doesn't make sense. Yeah, this doesn't make for, or,